Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. You know that not only do we talk about science being done by people in the community and abroad, but we also talk about some of the ideas behind science. And lately, we've been talking about knowledge and a variety of different topics and how it connects to the scientific pursuit. I just wanted to chat a little bit this morning about truth and knowledge and expertise, talk a little bit about expertise and whether people have it, and if people don't have it, whether or not they should be put into a position where they're making decisions regarding, let's say, science. So, for example, let's look back in the past and talk about a couple of times when people let their own agendas, perhaps political agendas, get in the way of what might be best in the context of the actual study of the natural world. So the two examples I'm going to use, the first one is going to be the Cultural Revolution, which occurred in the mid-1960s in China. As many of you know, Mao Zedong essentially was the leader of China, but had been coming upon some politically difficult times in the early part of the 1960s, late part of the 1950s. And decided to make a new statement as to total Maoism, so to speak, and in fact found willing and eager participants in his new statement and his new commitment amongst the youth of China. And so began a process called the Cultural Revolution, where anybody who did not adhere to the particular dogma was put into a position where their power was taken away from them and they were not allowed to essentially speak out. And so many of the people who suffered under this kind of regime or this kind of politics were the professors in the universities. There were longstanding members of the universities who were experts in their fields and had studied a variety of different subjects from physics all the way over to Sanskrit literature. And in many cases, those professors were taken out and forced to become laborers in the fields, while people who were completely untrained in whatever particular topic we might be talking about would be put into positions of authority within the university system themselves. You say to yourself, something like that could never happen, and it wouldn't happen. And in fact, over a period of time, this was a situation that found itself to be untenable. And of course, it did collapse. And once the Gang of Four was arrested, this sort of came crashing down around people's heads. But a lot of damage was done. Many people who were not experts in something were allowed to speak out on something merely because they followed the particular ideology of the day. So the second example I'd like to talk about would be the example of Lysenko. Lysenko was a Soviet agronomist who was trained in the early 1900s and grew various kinds of crops and actually went to college for that. But he was not particularly well trained in, let's say, the study of genetics or the idea of Mendelian genetic propagation of characteristics, and in fact fell into a situation where he began to suggest and participate in something that could be construed as incorrect science, pretty much pseudoscience. And that pseudoscience happened to dovetail very nicely with some Soviet ideology. Essentially, he believed that characteristics could be acquired. Today, people talk about epigenetics, which is a variation on this kind of an idea. But in the case of Lysenko, he was talking about something different, where essentially you could teach a particular crop to acquire certain characteristics by changing its environment, and then it would pass on those characteristics. You would think, what difference does that make? Well, because it tied in with the particular ideology of the Soviet man, so to speak, being able to acquire characteristics and make themselves into better people, his ideas were propagated, and in fact, he became a close ally of Stalin. And under that reign, any kind of opposition to Lysenko's ideas were essentially squashed. So 30 or so years of Soviet study of genetics and crop propagation was essentially completely put on hold while Lysenko was in power. And of course, sooner or later, he finally came to the end of his support and his ideas were discredited. So how could this all tie in today? One of the things I've seen over the last few years, but especially recently, is the idea that people who are experts are in some cases not to be trusted. So you have anybody, somebody that might come to your house and do the electrical wiring. You certainly always say, I want somebody who really knows how to do these things and has done them over and over again. You wouldn't pull somebody off the street who knows nothing about these particular topics and just let them have their way with your own particular abode. And yet when it comes to many things, from the study of climate to the study of alternative energy solutions, to the study of all sorts of topics. Many times, the American people in this particular case are willing to chuck aside the experts, so to speak, perhaps in some cases, maybe even the eggheads, who have spent, in many cases, a lifetime studying a particular subject in order to let people who follow a particular agenda take the stage. Once again, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.